Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن صدق الله العظيم Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Maulaya salli wa sallim daiman abada 'ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Respected ulama ikram, my respected elders and dear brothers in Islam. Usually in these days much mention is made about the Hajj, about Qurbani, and about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And just now a thought had come to my mind that if you open the Quran in a very rough estimation, in about 69 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam by his name. How many other ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions other aspects of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salat wa salam. Sometimes Allah mentions it by narrating some aspects of his life. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him as a precedence, as a person to follow. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him because of the very beautiful du'as that he had taught mankind to submit and supplicate in the courts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam by his sifat and his qualities. We all know the realities of the Qurbani. And we understand, like in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It was the sunnah of your father, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. One was the hand of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam that held that knife and was placed on Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu was salam. And one was the heart with which Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam had carried out this deed. Now in various ayats of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of numerous qualities of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes Hanifa Muslima. Sometimes Allah says, Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa walam yakum minal mushrikeen shakiran li an'umi. Amongst all the qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, sometimes Allah says, Siddiqan Nabiya. One quality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions on two occasions is the quality of Awwah. When we look at this word Awwah, then in Urdu, they will translate it as Bahut Ah Karne Wala. To find the English, we will say a person that sighs abundantly. But if we go to the background of this word Awwah, from a literal point of view, then brothers, it becomes very, very difficult for us to understand this word. But I will try, I'll make an attempt just to give you a very brief explanation of that heart that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had possessed. And it was that heart that had made this resolution that I will fulfill this very difficult command of Allah. One is that heart was filled with ikhlas and sincerity for the sake of Allah. Then there are those ulama that say it was khashiyat. It was that awe, the fear and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was filled in his heart. And because of the love that was filled in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, continuously, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam sighed, and he sighed the name of Allah. Now brothers, that was that heart that was filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that without any hesitation whatsoever, he put that knife to Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wassalam. And perhaps, amongst the very many lessons we learn, let us learn this one lesson on this Qurbani. That it is not just an act, a ritual, a rite that we carry out on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah or the days thereafter. But it is something that's supposed to stay with us for the rest of our lives. How many Qurbani we may have performed of our own, we may have made of the marhumeen, we may have made on behalf of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the whole intention, the whole underlining factor is this, that we need to create this link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That love between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we look on the other side, Allah is our creator. Allah knows all our faults. On the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We are created weak. Well, it's not the time of slavery. But if perhaps a person would have went out to purchase a slave, nobody would want to buy a weak slave. If a man has to propose to a woman, he will look for the best of qualities in that person. If somebody has to employ someone, he will look for the best of qualities. But Allah knows that we are weak. We are ajul. At the same time, we are very hasty. Nobody will want to employ someone that wants to get paid in advance before the work is done. But look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says we are manu'a. We are those people that withhold. We keep away. You bring someone in your employment and the man does not want to give off his best, you will reconsider. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this weakness. Jazu'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we are in states of unnecessary restlessness all the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all these weaknesses of man. But yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still wants to purchase us. Allah still wants to take us. Allah still wants to shower His love upon us. So brothers and friends, that is the one very brief aspect of this Qurbani that we need to try. And not just on the morning of Eid. Have all the love that we have and then forget about Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. But this should be the beginning of a path that we are supposed to walk to create and inculcate that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that love comes, the actions and the amal of deen is very, very easy. Imam Bukhari rahimahumullah, just very briefly, he starts a chapter in his Bukhari Sharif, Inna ad-deena yusrun. That deen is very easy. Now if we ask ourselves, how is deen easy? Obviously deen is not easy. When one has the love of Allah, deen becomes a pleasure. So this is supposed to now permeate into every other ibadat of ours, every action of ours, that we fulfill these actions and these deeds for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The other very important aspect on this Qurbani is that, brothers and friends, whilst we put the knife to the animal and whilst we let the blood flow, together with that, each one of us are filled with desires. Some of our desires may be absolutely permissible. There is no problem whatsoever. The great awliya and the ahlullah, they even sacrificed the very desires that were permissible, that Allah had made halal. They sacrificed that in an acquisition or in a zeal to acquire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the ulama have stated that on the one hand, taqwa is to abstain and keep away from kufr and shirk, to keep away from nifaq, from hypocrisy. The next stage of taqwa is to keep away from guna and sin and transgression and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next stage is to keep away from all those factors that are regarded as makruh, that are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makarih is something that we dislike and we're supposed to embark upon that. And one is makruh, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes and we're supposed to keep away from it. And there are those friends of Allah that have said that one stage of taqwa is to eliminate anything that distracts us from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. To remove it completely. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahumullah has narrated an incident of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam, that we know that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam was a Nabi of Allah. Allah had granted him kingdom. Allah had made the winds subservient to him. Allah had made the jinnat subservient to him. He knew the languages of the various makhluk of Allah. Those ni'mats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. And once towards the latter part of the day, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam calls for his horses that he used to use in jihad fi sabilillah. Now understand, before we go forward, Hazrat Mufti Sahib has also written that like how it was permissible for us to slaughter cows and sheep, like that it was also permissible in the time of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam. In other words, it was customary, there was no problem with that, it was traditional. So Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam began to inspect these horses, something that is utilized for the ultimate objective of taking one out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sun began to set, and Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam was delayed, and his salat got delayed. Now what does Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam do? He orders that these horses be slaughtered and sacrificed for the sake of Allah, because it distracted me from the ibadat of Allah. Brothers, in this qurbani also, one is the gunas and the sins that we violate the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them are very major. Some of them are very open. The other sins that we may commit in the darknesses of night, in the secrecies of our rooms, behind our screens, and whatever the cases may be. Brothers, you know, when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wassalam made the error, and he ate from the tree, Allah has shown us the most beautiful example. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. There are those ulama that have stated that there is one important lesson in this dua. Take responsibility for your sins. His was an error. But Allah shows mankind till the day of Qiyamah that I need to take responsibility for my gunas and my sins. I cannot continuously, on an ongoing basis, blame shaitan, blame others, blame environment, blame technology, blame my family, and blame everyone else. Because brothers, there's two things if we do. If we carry on blaming, and we carry on making excuses, we are never going to be successful in our dunya, nor are we going to be successful in our deen, nor are we going to be successful in the akhirah. Some have narrated that the incident was regarding Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. Others have stated it was some of the awliya, that they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my Allah, what is the path between me and you? What is the method to gain closeness to you and to come to you. So the response and the reply came from Allah. If it was the Anbiya, then it was Wahi. Otherwise Allah inspired the Awliya. A simple prescription. Da' nafsak wa ta'al. Leave your nafs and come. The brothers, every day we see this scene at the airports, that a person is making that lifelong trip, that desire that he has to go to some place, whether it is the Haramain Sharifain or anywhere else. And the man saves up and he makes every effort, and then he comes to security and they say, brother, in your hand luggage there is more than 100 milliliters of an aerosol, some deodorant. So he says to you, take this and throw it. And you say, no, I want to keep it. He says, if you keep it, you cannot get onto the plane. Similarly, if you want to get onto the plane of Allah, and you want to get closer to Allah, you have to throw all those 100 milliliters away, one by one. And this is that qurbani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. Amongst one aspect of our desires, and it is very pertinent to Yawmun Nahar, in the time of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the 10th of Zulhijjah, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the plains of Mina. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a khutbah. And understand, Zulhijjah, it was thereafter Muharram, Safar, and Rabiul Awwal, to the maximum 90 days before Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world. Most of the Sahaba had come for this Hajj. In that Hajj, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, O Ali, perhaps I will not see you here next year. The message was very clear that this was Hajjatul Wada. This was the last Hajj of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A monumental journey, a momentous occasion. Days before he leaves this world, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the ummah. We do not have time to go through all the details of it. But it stands to reason that on that occasion, our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give that advice that is most pertinent to this ummah. And amongst the advices, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum. Brothers, many of us, alhamdulillah, when it comes to our ibadat, we understand our obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is absolutely no one in this world that can deny its importance. But many an occasion, when it comes to hukukul ibad, when it comes to the rights of others, somewhat we begin to shirk responsibilities. And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has categorized the rights of others into three categories. One is the blood of another person. How often don't we hear today? How often don't we hear today that someone owed somebody some sum of money, and a Muslim sends out hitmen, hurts and harms that person, sometimes takes the life of the person. In one instance, it was done on a Jummah, and the man said, at least I gave him a Mubarak day. Brothers, this is to that level this ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stooped to. Wa amwalakum, and your wealth. Just the other day, brothers, it's a shame. It's a shame. Muslims will take animals for qurbani, and they will not fulfill the debt and pay that money for that qurbani. And then we say that I made qurbani of 20 animals and 30 animals. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa aradakum, your honor is haram upon each other. It is sacred upon each other. Just to give you a glimpse of this, when we look at the ayats of the Quran Kareem, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about ghibat, وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُّحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. I'm just going to give you one example at random. When one person speaks ill about another person, what is the ultimate, what is he doing? He's running somebody down. He's dishonoring another Muslim. And that is not permissible. That is why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, that do you love to eat the flesh of a dead Muslim brother? A man in his life, we do not honor. And then the janazah comes. And then all of us rub our shoulders to that janazah. And now we honor that person. Brothers, let us learn to honor the living. When we look in the life of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at that akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us not divert our attention from the fact that we are speaking about this qurbani. And we need to let go of all this evil qualities, debasing qualities that we have within us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent sahaba out. And they had come with a prisoner. I'm just going to condense the narration very quickly. And this prisoner was brought to Masjid al-Nabawi. His name was Thumama. And he was tied to one of the pillars of Masjid al-Nabawi. Now look at Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at akhlaq and character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to him and he asks him, Thumama, how are you? Thumama responds to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in taqtul, taqtul dha damin. Wa in tun'im, tun'im ala shakir. Wa in kunta turidul mal, fasal tu'ta minhu. He says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, basically he understood three options. That if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill a human being. And if you favor me with letting me free, then obviously I will be most appreciative to you. And number three is if it is wealth that you require as a ransom for me, then whatever wealth you want, I'm wealthy, I'll give it to you. He was a leader of his community, of his people in Yamama. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves him. He comes the second day. Similar conversation. Third day, similar conversation. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to sahaba, untie him. Leave him. They untie him. And he goes out of Masjid al-Nabawi. He goes to some of the date orchards. He makes ghusl and he comes back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says the shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu annaka Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers, his interaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the bare minimum. But he saw qualities in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, people interact with us on a huge scale, outsides on the road, on the pavements, in the business world. And in that interaction, are we delivering that message that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered to Thumama, to see the beauty of insaniyat, to see the beauty of humanity, of humanism, to see the beauty of a believer, to see the beauty of an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before this, your face was the most hated face in my eyes. And now you have become the most beloved. Your city, Madina Munawwara, was the most hated in my eyes. And now it has become the most beloved place. Your deen, the deen of Islam, was the most hated and now it has become the most beloved. Immediately, he puts his hand in the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. He was on his way for Umrah. He asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the onward journey now to make to Umrah. The people of Makkah used to buy grain from Yamama. And he was the person to sign the approval. And he said, I will not sign the approval until my Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not give me the go ahead. The people of Makkah Mukarramah, at that time we can understand the hostility against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Thumama, don't withhold the grain, give them the grain. So brothers, this is some of the lessons that we learn from this Qurbani. Obviously this will come in our hearts when we open our hearts. That spirit of generosity comes within us. That spirit of kindness comes to us. The generosity of spirit comes within us. For one and all. There was amongst the great awliya, Maruf Karkhi Rahmatullah Ali was one. And he goes past with some of his murids, past a group of people that were openly violating the commandments of Allah. And some of the murids, they said to him, Hazrat, why don't you curse these people? He said, Thik acha. He lifts his hands and he makes dua to Allah. Allah overlook the faults of these people. Allah overlook the faults of these people. Allah forgive them. Allah make them your beloved. Look at that generosity in his heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires his heart that I have made them my beloved. So he makes the announcement to the murids, look at my Allah. Without any effort whatsoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just drew them towards him. Brothers, you and I also. Sometimes it is just the rahmah of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can draw us closer to Allah. But obviously we have to cleanse our hearts. Allah will not come in a heart that is filled with the filth that it has of pride and arrogance and passionate love of this world and all the other ills of jealousy and hatred and enmity. Let us try and cleanse our hearts and then let us see the difference that it will make to our deen, inshaAllah. Brothers and friends, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability and the strength, and may Allah ta'ala accept the qurbani of one and all. May Allah ta'ala accept the hajj of each and every haji. Allah ta'ala protect them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them his muqarrab, his pious servants. And Allah make it such that we become a part of their du'as. And also, brothers, there is a janazah here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make maghfirat of this person and each and every marhum in the ummah of our Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. After the farz is completed, we will read our sunnah and then the janazah salat will be performed. Brothers, we're not saying that you should read your sunnah haphazardly, but what we should try and do is, as quickly as possible, let us perform the janazah salat. We can always come back to the masjid and then complete our salat and all our wazifas and duas, etc. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.